Affairs Committee for Thursday, February 9th. We have two bills on the agenda. HB 184, sponsored by Representative Peggy Wilson, refunding a fish business tax to municipalities. And HB 305 by Representative Gardner, having to do with municipal property tax exemptions for religious organizations. Present today, we have Representative Gardner, Representative Dick, Representative Osterman, and myself, Co-Chair Munoz, or Chair Munoz. Welcome to the committee, and we will start with Representative Wilson and HB 184. Public testimony is still open on this bill. We had it up last at our last meeting, but it was at the end of the agenda, and several people wanted to testify, so we hold open that opportunity today. Would you like to come forward, though? You had make a statement, and then we'll allow public testimony and then come back for amendment.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Again, my name is Representative Peggy Wilson from District 2, and House Bill 184 will increase the fish tax share with boroughs and cities and communities to help with port and harbor maintenance and improvements. And it will also share the unprocessed fish tax with the area where the fish was landed. And I just urge you to move the bill from committee.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Wilson. And do we have people in the audience that would like to testify on the bill? Yes. Okay. Okay. And these are present here today? Okay. Tim Rooney, Borough Manager with the City of Wrangell.
Chair Munoz and members of the committee, I testified 2 weeks ago. I continue to be in favor of this. I just wanted to clear up. I think 2 weeks ago I was asked the question how much of the tax that we get now goes to maintenance for ports and harbor facilities. And right now, 100% of everything that we get. We're one of the few communities, I think, that takes all of that money and gives it to ports and harbors. So we do use all of it, and as our harbors have activity has grown in Wrangell, specifically in the last 3 or 4 years, the upkeep and maintenance of those facilities is always a challenge for us, so any increase in funding in that area would be very beneficial for us.
Okay. Are there questions for Manager Rooney? Thank you for joining us today. Also from Wrangell, we have Dave Jack, member of the Borough Assembly in Wrangell.
Good morning. I just basically, I'd be very short. The Assembly has passed a resolution in support of this bill. And as you're probably aware, the purpose of this fisheries tax was to maintain the infrastructures in the ports and harbors. And at one time, the state did own pretty much all of that, and it has slowly been turned over to the communities as it was improved, and the communities now own that and are responsible for the maintenance. And it was appropriate at one time for the state to have the majority of that because they were responsible for the maintenance. But now the shoe's on the other foot, and it would be appropriate for the communities to get the lion's share of that to maintain this infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jack. Are there questions? Thank you very much. And we've been joined by Representative Cisna and earlier by co-chair or vice chair Neil Foster. And Mr. Foster will join us. He has a meeting. He'll be right back. So next to testify, we have Glo Wolin from Petersburg. Is Glo in the audience? Oh, Glo, please restate your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Good morning, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. Greetings from Petersburg. My name is Gloria Ann Wolin, and I'm the harbor master here in Petersburg. And I appreciate the chance to go on record as well in favor of this important piece of legislation. As a lifelong Alaskan commercial fisherman and Petersburg Harbor Master, I strongly also support moving forward with House Bill 184, which reallocates the formula of the existing shared fisheries tax revenue programs and provides additional harbor funding to statewide boroughs and municipalities. I feel that this bill was crafted with great care to help local communities such as Petersburg in funding our harbor continuing maintenance on aging infrastructure. Many of these small boat harbors here in Petersburg were constructed by the state of Alaska in the 60s and 70s, and then were transferred to local municipalities by 2006. Most of these facilities are indeed in tough shape and at the time of transfer and continue to be in need of major repairs or outright complete replacement. This added funding will better help places like Petersburg qualify for grants such as the state's 50-50 harbor match program by providing increased monies to put in reserve in order to save enough for us to use as our community match. As Alaskans know, these harbors play such a critical economic role by enabling trade, transportation, commercial fisheries, tourism, and recreational opportunities all across the state. Increasing a stable funding source, as House Bill 184 will do, is a significant step in ensuring that our small communities are able to adequately repair and maintain these valuable facilities on behalf of the great state of Alaska. Thank you very much for understanding the importance of this issue and allowing me to testify.
Thank you, Ms. Wolin. Are there questions at this point? No. Thank you again for joining us today. Okay. Also online, we have for questions Tim Cottingham, or maybe he's here. I'm sorry, you're in the audience. And Scott Ruby is also present for questions. And on the line, Steve Van Sant, State Assessor, and Wendy Lawrence, the Assistant State Assessor, available for questions. So, I'm sorry, the State Assessor and Assistant State Assessor online for Bill 305, which is not this issue. So sorry for the confusion.
What a coincidence.
Oh, okay, all right. Representative Wilson, if you could come back. You have an amendment. If we could discuss the amendment. At this point, I'm going to close public testimony and turn it back to you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And I'm going to turn it over to my Chief of Staff because she's been working with bill drafting on this. So I'll let her go ahead and explain the amendment.
Thank you, members of the committee. My name is Becky Rooney, staff to Representative Peggy Wilson. You have, I think, on your desks an amendment that is really basically a conforming amendment. It's long in paper and lines, but it's really a very simple amendment. In both the fisheries business tax and the fisheries resource landing tax, there is language that helps a newly formed borough transition their municipalities to the 50-50 split between a city and a borough when a borough was formed. And it just transitions that before the borough, the city got their full share, then they have to split it once a borough was formed. Mm-hmm. And this is just the transitioning language that allows that to happen over 1, 2, 3, over 4 years instead of all at once. And you should have both of the statutes on your desk, and we just didn't do the fisheries landing tax in the original, in the bill version R, so we just like to do the fisheries landing tax along with the fisheries business tax. Same percentages, nothing different. So it's really almost conforming language.
And actually, that's in existing statute, and we just didn't bring both of them through, so we're just putting it through in now, so it stays the way it is in statute now.
Okay. So for clarification on existing city and boroughs, like Ketchikan is a city and a borough, two governments, this would not affect that particular situation. It's affecting new boroughs that you're transitioning in with the new split of the tax, is that correct?
Yes, Madam Chair. Currently, it has it's never even been exercised. These statutes, these provisions, have never been exercised. But just in case, we wanted to make sure that we picked up all the places that needed to be changed.
Okay. So again, with existing boroughs, the split would be 50-50 between the borough and the city.
Yes.
Okay. Are there questions? Okay. Yes, sir.
On the second page of the amendment, it renumbers the following sections accordingly. And I go to page 4 of version R and look at line 11. And I'm not sure that I see the change.
And I don't have the bill drafter here. He said that he just renumbered the sections to conform. I guess I don't have an answer for that, Madam Chair, Representative Osterman. I guess I'll have to further look into that.
Both of those.
Yes, both, are
looks
both
like
wrong.
Both of those renumbering sections there are, don't correspond with the bill.
I agree through the chair.
Okay. Can you get the doctor on the line?
Or? Can we do
sure.
that really quickly?
You bet. Okay. Did you want to take further questions or speak to, continue to address the bill at this point, or shall we? Yes. Have a brief at ease.
Can you have a brief at ease?
Brief at ease. Okay. We'll have a brief at ease. Okay, we're back on record. And Representative Osterman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would make a motion that we delete on page 2 from line 12 through line 18 and then insert on line 11 any conforming renumbering sections that need to be applied just to show intent. Of
okay. Is there discussion? Yes,
can
Representative
just
Gardner.
Just repeat page and line number.
So page 2 of the amendment.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see. Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Oh, yes. Would you move the amendment number 1, please?
I move amendment number 1.
Second. And technically, is the amendment on the table? So we're amending the amendment. I don't think we've moved
the which are you preferring? I'm sorry. I'm
we haven't moved the original amendment. R?
Right. So are we amending the amendment?
Or yes.
So we need to move R?
Yes. We need to move R first. Yeah. Representative Osterman.
So moved.
Okay. Amendment R is on the table, and we are amending the amendment. Representative Osterman.
Yes, I'll repeat that. Delete on page 2 of the amendment number 1. Delete line 12 through 18, and then insert in line 11 any conforming renumbering sections that need to be renumbered.
Okay. Is there discussion? Objection? Hearing no objection, the amendment is. Okay. Are there further amendments? Representative Wilson. Representative Wilson.
Yes, this amendment.
There's no objection to it.
There's no the amendment is passed. The amendment has passed, and the amendment to the amendment has passed. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So can we have the bill before the committee, a motion to bring the bill before us for action? Does anyone want to move the bill?
Please.
I need a motion to move the bill.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Sisson.
And it's the bill that we're moving.
Yes.
I move CS for House Bill 184, and it would be 27 LS 05 76. R with individual recommendations, amendments, and fiscal note?
And zero fiscal.
And zero fiscal note.
Okay.
amendment.
She said with amendments. Is there objection to the motion?
Yes.
Yes. We have an objection. We'll call the roll, please.
Madam Chair? Madam Chair?
Yes.
Maybe speak first.
Yes.
Have committee discussion briefly. I was hoping we wouldn't have to call the roll, but I think that Representative Wilson has identified a real problem. My concern is that this isn't the right fix for it, and I don't have an offer for what is the right fix. I mean, clearly, our docks and harbors are critically important to communities all around the perimeter of the state. I'm just not sure that this fixes the problem without creating additional problems. The funding that goes into support other state agencies that rely on it too, we kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul, and it concerns me. So, thank you.
Yes, Representative Wilson.
Thank you. And that's the very reason that we left 25% with the state yet, so that they would be able to do that. The testifying that we had from the department said that that 25% was enough to deal with what they needed to deal with. So that's why we left that 25% for the state.
And Madam Chair, if I might add one other element, is that if this bill were to pass as written, I don't think it makes much of a dent in the need. And we had testimony to that effect for Juneau and some other communities. And if the communities came back looking for more help, the answer might very well be, well, gee, we're giving you more of this fish tax money. You know, don't come to us for more. And I don't think that if this passes, it solves the problem for them and it creates additional problems.
It doesn't solve the problem, if I may, but it does help the problem. There's a tremendous backlog of maintenance ever since the state has turned over its facilities to the municipalities. And the city of Juneau is on record in support of this legislation, just so that you're aware that the communities in this region are very much in favor of this.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, was there further question or comment? Yes, Representative Sisson.
Yes, I'd like to ask Representative Osterman what his objection was. I'd like to hear from him, because I actually have visited many communities and certainly many communities with docks both in Southeast and throughout other parts of Alaska. And this is a growing problem that in the 9 years that I've been traveling around, it seems to get bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And we have all of these problems that we're working with in this state across the different disciplines that the state focuses on. It's nice to work on a few of them, just take care of something that's happening now. However, from another fisheries really based district, which Representative Osterman does represent, it's a really major area. I'd just love to hear from another away from Southeast. And
Representative Osterman.
At the last two times we've heard this bill, I've expressed my concerns with the bill. And it deals with, number one, the underlying change in the landing tax and the distribution takes away from some communities and gives it to the other communities. And I think in basic terms, it takes it away from small communities and gives it to bigger communities, and that bothers me. It has bothered me when we had this bill before us the last few times, last few years we've had this bill before us, not in the same form, but with the underlying landing tax structure of changing the tax structure to take it away from small communities and give it to bigger communities. So I have an underlying problem with that. And then we put on top of that taking another 25% away from the state and giving it to the communities, which I, you know, you're correct, they do need money to work on their harbors and stuff like that. But at the same point in time, we're taking more state money and giving it to municipalities. And if you look at the overall dollar value that we spend on municipalities right now in the state of Alaska, it's pretty overwhelming when you look at and compare to other states. And I understand what the goal is here, but I don't like the idea that that we're trying to hide what's going on in the underlying tax structure by putting 25% on it to make it look like everybody's getting more money when they're, in essence, they're not. This is an issue in reference to the landing tax and what's happened across the board in every finance committee that I've ever sat on that has a conversation in reference to whether the fishing industry itself pays its way in the state of Alaska. And most of the people who say the state of Alaska or the fishing industry does not pay its way point to how much money comes in off of landing taxes, fish taxes. And so we take 50% already and give it to the communities of that money, so there's less money that can be justified as the fishing industry paying its way as far as the state's concerned. Then we're going to now take 25% more of that away, and the argument then at that point in time is the fishing industry does not pay its way, period, because they look at the state dollars come in rather than what goes to the municipalities when they make that argument. That bothers me, and I've expressed these concerns at the last two meetings we've had on this. That's my reason for objecting.
Representative Sisna.
Not representing a, well, yes, actually, Anchorage does have a small port.
Yeah, the biggest fishing port in,
by
fishermen. Well, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's right. But one of the serious problems in our state, it does seem to me, is that fishing is still one of the largest job markets that you're going to find in the state. It's, I think health is number one, if I'm not mistaken, but fisheries is right up there next to it. And the kinds of costs that are hitting our communities now are the very are from the very sources of conditions that bring the state so much money, and that's the very high costs of fuel, and it's really threatening the very life of the fishing industries and many other kinds that are away from the urban centers that get huge amounts of profits from the investments we put in small communities. A lot of those are ports. And communities themselves with those kinds of expenditures by the state are not the ones who are really making the determination of whether or not that's a need they really have as a community. They're not making that decision. And for them to get some part of this and offset that so that we don't have something fail in the state that has an enormous long history of keeping, well, it goes to the very beginning of humans being here, fisheries. It really is the important thing. And if we don't fight for those places we get food, we have to do a great job of oversight, but we've also got to make it possible for humans to get what they need for to eat and to sell. Sorry. Thank you.
Do members have the chart that was provided, the analysis that was provided by the chair or by the sponsor of the bill, fisheries tax revenue share analysis? In that analysis, as you go through, the majority of the communities receive substantial increases in funding for their harbors. In those cases where they the amount declines, it declines by a very little amount. So I just draw your attention to that kind of reiterate the importance.
Madam Chair, and that's based on the 25% increase, not on the necessary on the change of the tax. If you didn't have the 25% increase, the numbers are totally different.
That's correct.
And that was one of my objections at the time, was once this gets to finance, I don't anticipate that it's going to make it through finances with a 25% increase, which then brings it back, although the sponsor of the bill has indicated she'll pull the bill at that point in time. But going out of this committee, I don't know.
Right. Well, it does assume that both taxes, that the allocation has changed on both of the taxes that are collected. The bill sponsor has said that she would not go forward with the bill if one of those taxes were amended or taken out of the formula. So that was the commitment that was made early on. Is there further discussion on the bill?
No, not good.
Okay. Are we ready to vote on the motion? Okay. Would you like to call the vote, please?
Representative Foster?
Yes.
Representative Dick?
Yes.
Representative Sadler?
No.
Representative Sisna?
Yes.
Representative Gardner?
Yes.
Representative Osterman?
No.
Chairman Yes?
Yes.
5-2.
Okay, the bill moves from committee today with individual recommendations, and we'll take a brief at-ease to sign the report and get ready for the next bill.
Thank you.
Okay, we're back to order. Community and Regional Affairs Committee, the next bill up is HB 305 by Representatives Gardner and Holmes, and they're both here today. Go ahead with your testimony. Thank you,
Madam Chair, and I would just like to say before we actually start that Representative Holmes and I discovered we were working on the same thing. And we decided to join forces, and I was marginally ahead. So we've worked on this together all the way through. So thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'm Representative Berta Gardner from Midtown Anchorage, and I appreciate the committee's willingness to hear this bill and hopefully agree with us and pass it out. The Property Tax Fairness Act seeks to correct an error made in 2006 and return to a property tax system in which all taxpayers are treated equally. It removes the property tax exemptions for teachers of private and parochial schools, private religious or parochial schools living in church-owned housing. And it also returns to the pre-2006 language describing a minister living in church property being tax-exempt also. How the bill came about: in 2006, the legislature passed House Bill 344, which broadened the definition of religious property by adding a mandatory exemption for the residence of an educator in a private religious or parochial school. And it expanded the definition of minister beyond the previous definition to include those individuals ordained, commissioned, or licensed as a minister according to the standards of the religious organization for its ministers. It also required that the ministers be employed by the religious organization to carry out the ministry of that organization. So the problem, in a nutshell, is that the mandatory tax exemption reductions, such as those for senior citizens and veterans, enjoy broad public support, even though they're unfunded mandates. However, the 2006 legislation was controversial with the public because it gives special treatment to some individuals, religious educators, and was perceived as being unfair to other educators and to all other taxpayers. So the minister definitions in this bill, expanded the religious exemption for ministers in such a way it's difficult for municipal tax officials to identify who qualifies. They didn't have to be ordained or anything like that. And in all of this, it's an unfunded mandate borne by all taxpayers who end up picking up the slack.
And with your permission, Madam Chair, I will jump in at this point. Representative Lindsay Holmes, I represent District 26 in Anchorage. And so I thought I'd walk you through what the proposed bill actually does. House Bill 305, the Property Tax Fairness Act, it fixes the special treatment problem by eliminating the religious teacher housing exemption. That's the first thing it does. It also removes language added in 2006, which had broadened the definition of minister by allowing the organizations themselves to define what a minister is, quote unquote, according to the standards of the religious organization. So basically, a minister was what the church said the minister was. This bill changes the definition of minister back to what it had been prior to 2006. It also removes the requirement that the minister be actually employed by the church as a religious leader. These are all simply removing the changes that were made in 2006. The basis for this whole discussion is actually found in our Constitution. Article 9, Section 4 of the Alaska Constitution specifically identifies properties that are used exclusively for nonprofit religious purposes as being exempt from taxation as defined by law. And that's where the legislature comes in, because as defined by law is what we say it is. So that's where this whole thing comes from. What the proposed bill does not do is it does not change or undermine the longstanding support that we have had in this state for tax exemptions for the homes of religious leaders. It preserves the tax exemption for the residents of a bishop, a pastor, a priest, rabbi, minister, or religious order of a recognized religious order. It also does not change anything regarding other religious property tax exemptions, such as exemptions for churches, for synagogues, for religious educational facilities, and other property that is used exclusively for religious purposes. That exemption remains in place. We asked legislative research to help us get a handle on the scope of this, and it's not a widespread use. Legislative Legal was only able to find 5 properties in Anchorage and 5 properties on the Kenai that were using specifically the religious educator exemption. And without having actual numbers, legislative research did some estimates and said that we're probably talking about $25,000 a year. It's not a huge write-off, but the real issue is fairness. We're not talking about a lot of money, but Representative Gardner and I proposed this bill because we don't think that giving exemptions to these certain groups are fair to other taxpayers. Whenever you have one group that is exempted from paying property taxes, all the other property taxpayers, whether they be individuals or businesses, are required to pick up the slack. And what's more, by making this exemption mandatory, we are really passing on an unfunded mandate to the local properties. I mean, this isn't our budget we're talking about. This is the municipalities and the city's budgets that we're talking about, and we're telling them what they have to allow as exemptions. And we didn't think that was fair. And when you have one group that's required, that gets an exemption, it creates resentment in the community. And we've seen that, I think, in Anchorage and possibly other places. And we didn't think that it was fair to have one group, particularly of teachers, that had an exemption when there are so many other teachers, both at public and private and other religious schools, that don't get this same exemption.
And Madam Chair, Representative Gardner, for the record, this proposal has generated waves of broad public support, and we actually at the outset tried to sort of play it down. We didn't do a press release or anything. We wanted it really to be discussed on its merits and not bring out all kinds of people. But since the Anchorage Daily News printed the first story, our offices have been flooded with calls and emails. I think for myself, in a 24-hour period, I have never received so many comments on anything. The bill packet contains, I think, about 80 emails of support that came to my office. I didn't get a single negative one. The Anchorage Daily News article generated about 300 comments the last time we counted, 98% of which supported changing the law in this way. To avoid taking up too much of the committee's time, we really didn't ask people to come and testify, with a couple of specific exceptions. And we just ask that you kind of thumb through these letters of support. And some of them, you'll see, urge us to go much further. We don't propose to do that, because we recognize oftentimes that the letters that come in are not necessarily representative of the whole. But I think they do demonstrate that in this issue, people have very strong feelings about it. And as we have tried to explain, resented the property tax exemption for teachers. So if it's necessary, or if the committee would like, we can absolutely get some other people. But in conclusion, you know, House Bill 305, the Property Tax Fairness Act, we believe rights a wrong that was enacted in 2006 by granting this special exemption for one group of people, religious educators, and placed an unfunded mandate on all the other taxpayers and municipality. It corrects that without interfering with the broad support for tax exemptions for homes of religious officials. And it's a measure to restore public trust in the legislative process by eliminating special treatment. And with that, Madam Chair, we have with us Debbie Osiander, who is
She's here to represent the Alaska Municipal League, but she's also a member of the Anchorage Assembly. Is that correct?
I'm not here representing anybody but us.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. But she needs to get back to a meeting very quickly, and if we might allow her to speak quickly so we can release her, I think she'd appreciate that, as would we.
Okay. Are you concluded then with your testimony?
Yes.
Great. Okay. Debbie, would you like to come forward? Debbie Ossian. Thank you.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much. My name is Debbie Osiander. I am currently serving on the Anchorage Assembly. I've been a locally elected representative, been active in local government for about 20 years in Anchorage, prior to my Assembly service, a school board member for a long time. Particularly in my last three terms on the Assembly, though, I've spent the bulk of my time talking to people, listening to people about how we spend their money. And not only how we spend it in a way that is fair and equitable, but how we collect it has got to be fair and equitable. We have spent a whole lot of time clarifying to people how mill levies work, how your property assessment works with mill levy to create the impact on the tax base. We have tried to also diversify our tax base so that it's not so heavily put on local property taxpayers, but is spread throughout the community. We've had several discussions about sales tax, which our voters have not accepted, but we've looked at fees and other things to get away from that big burden of property tax. The biggest thing that we have done besides trying to diversify the base is to really ensure openness and explainability, if that's a word, to our citizens to show how that their taxes are collected fairly and equitably. We have created a process where you can appeal your taxes for free. We've tried to set up a citizen board that goes around the people in the community and talks about how your taxes work and how you can appeal them and what they're based on. We watch comparables to make sure that we're in line with what we are collecting. And we oftentimes have the very difficult process of saying no to very strong and good, worthwhile endeavors because we don't want to harm people in our community who are struggling to pay the tax bases that they have now. I happen to be in town. And whenever the term property tax exemptions come up, it's an automatic red flag antenna to me, and I react strongly because I'm kind of down where the rubber meets the road at looking people in the eye and explaining to them why a property tax exemption is justified in the sense that it brings worth to the community and it's worth for them to pay more in the long run to justify this. So my main plea to you today is to be as clear and concise in the language as you possibly can. I personally believe that it is correct to give tax exemptions to churches and to nonprofits, but I think it is critical that everybody understands the language, everybody understands the meaning. And so I'm just asking you to be very, very careful when you do this because it's a big deal. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Representative Sisna, if you can stay for questions, okay. Please.
Yes, and I have stood before you and asked for your observation of my concerns as well in the past. So it's kind of fun to see it the other way. And it's also good to hear your comments about municipal government and the needs of municipal government, the need to tax, and having myself spent huge amounts of time as a volunteer in many of the municipal areas dealing with people having a tough time, and we've got huge numbers of people in Anchorage that are having hard times right now, and that the money that the municipal government has looks like a lot of money, but it doesn't really spread as far as you want it to. I have qualified now for the exemption, I think, 4 years now, and I am extraordinarily proud to pay it. And that's where I come from, is that when we have the ability to pay a tax, I think it's a very honorable and a responsibility. And I really feel that when we have those assets, when we ourselves are not in trouble, being able to help the people around us, our neighbors, then it's really a critical thing. Fairness is important on this one. And this amendment fixes something that seemed to me at the time, and I was here at the time that it went through, it seemed very unfair to me, because in working during this last more than a decade with faith-based communities in Anchorage, trying very hard to serve the communities in Anchorage that are in trouble, those churches are very poor and they have very few assets, and they give right off the back, the clothes off their back, literally, to try to help people. So I really feel like this is a very honorable thing to be both able to vote for, but to testify for and to offer. So thanks, everybody, for doing it.
Thank you. Are there questions? I have a couple of questions. What is the mill rate in Anchorage?
It depends on where you live.
Okay.
We are broken into districts, okay, and we pay for services according to where we live in the district. So if you...
So in the area where this location is, that
I cannot tell you exactly. You don't know. Okay. No, I'm sorry.
Do you know what the financial impact to the municipality is?
No, I do not.
No. Okay. Are there questions? Yes,
Madam Chair. To that point, since the properties haven't been in question, for which exemptions have been claimed under the existing law, haven't been assessed in some years, there's no way to know exactly, but the estimate is about $15,000 to Anchorage and $9,000 to the Kenai, and it's, you know, a relatively small financial impact. But my concern is that it sort of, the existence of it sort of poisons the well for everybody and creates a tremendous amount of resentment, which I think, you know, you can see in the letters that have come in support. And I'll just want to emphasize, we did not ask people to write letters of support. When they did write to us, we tried to say, may we use your letters with attribution, because I don't believe in using anonymous comments, but if I'm going to put somebody's name on the record and their email address, we tried really hard to make sure they approved of that, and some didn't respond to us, and they're not in our packet. Mm-hmm. So,
thank you, Debbie.
Thank you very much.
On the telephone, we have Steve Van Sant, State Assessor, Wendy Lawrence, Assistant State Assessor, and Scott Ruby is here as well. Thank you for questions. Does anyone have a question of any of those individuals? No? Okay. I'll take a couple of questions with the State Assessor. Steve, are you on the phone?
Yes, Madam Chair, I am.
Thank you. Could you speak to the law as it pertains to charitable 501c3s and what the status is for municipalities granting exemptions to those organizations?
Madam Chair, I assume we're talking about this exemption, religious exemption for housing for teachers.
I'm curious, so do we offer in law exemption, the opportunity for exemptions for 501c3s?
Madam Chair, we have a charitable exemption. One of the standards is, one of the criteria is they have to be a nonprofit, which typically is a 501c3, could also be a 501c8 or 9. But yes, we do have charitable exemptions for nonprofits.
Okay, and are churches 501c3s?
Madam Chair, typically they are 501c3s, and that's a requirement that is statewide.
And is that a mandatory or an opt-in exemption for charitables?
Madam Chair, the charitable exemption is under 2945.030, which are mandatory exemptions.
Okay, and so if this were repealed, the organization in question could still get the exemption under charitable?
Madam Chair, the teacher housing probably would not qualify for a charitable exemption. That's the reason it was put in under this section, under religious exemptions.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Are there questions? Further questions? No. Thank you. Okay. So we have, we don't have anybody else to testify. Scott, did you want to come forward and make a statement? No. Okay. All right. So I will bring the sponsors back to the table for questions. We're not going to move the bill today. We're going to open it, as we do with all bills that come before the committee, for opportunity for comment, and then we'll bring it back at a future meeting. But would you like to make concluding remarks, please?
Yes. And then thank you, Madam Chair. Do you want to do that? Representative Berta Gardner, for the record, recently a senator in the other body has introduced legislation that would provide property tax exemption for the primary residence of a widow or widower of a person killed in military service. And that legislation, which is Senate Bill 183, proposes that a municipality may, by ordinance approved by the voters, grant such an exemption. To me, that seems, you know, a more reasonable way to do something like this. I considered doing something similar for the teacher exemption and just felt that it really didn't get to the heart of the matter. I mean, we could do that, but I don't believe that there's the support in Anchorage to do such a thing. And so my proposal, our proposal, was to simply roll back the property tax teacher exemption.
Representative Sadler has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Gardner, you said that you did not put out, you tried to keep this quiet, kind of keep the issue of the bill quiet, you did not put out a press release about it. Reading through some of the letters of support, did you reference it in your newsletter?
Yes, I did.
I do think because it is. Okay. If I may.
Yes.
Kind of follow up.
And Madam Chair, Lindsay Holmes, I did too.
Okay, very good. I've read through some of the letters. I've read through some of the comments in the newspaper. I'm concerned about some of the rhetoric, frankly, that I'm seeing in some of the letters and a lot of the comments afterwards. One in particular that gave me a real pause and kind of offended me was, won't mention the gentleman's name, but he said this charlatan, Jerry Prevost, the perpetrator, just some pretty loaded rhetoric. I'm a little offended by that. It is possible to disagree on issues without being disagreeable. I think that you know, the ABT and Dr. Prevost do preach the gospel. They do it very aggressively. They do a good job. I applaud them for it. And members of the church do, as their public right is, take part in the political process. I don't think anyone should gainsay them for that. And I'm just concerned that this is taking on a partisan aspect. I think it is possible to disagree on issues of public policy and property tax without being disagreeable. So I hope that we can maintain the debate and conversation at a high level. Having said that, I'd also have concerns, and I've heard concerns from my city council member in Anchorage about property tax exemptions. So just let's keep it at a high level. Thanks.
Thank you. And Madam Chair, if I may have something. I appreciate the comments, and I think if you look at anything, and I'd be happy to send you my newsletter, and I'm sure Representative Gardner would as well. We'd be happy to share what we did share with ours, and that has not been our tactic. That is not our intention. This is not targeted at any particular entity in our book. This is targeted at what we think is quite, frankly, a largely unpopular measure that is perceived on the ground by a lot of people in our community, and I think it's both sides of the aisle. It's not intended in any way to be partisan. There are a lot of people in the community who feel that their property taxes are going up because other entities are being given exemptions. And because this was a mandatory exemption and not a permissive exemption, it is aimed at that. This is not a witch hunt by any way, shape, or form by myself or Representative Gardner. This is not aimed at any particular entity. There was a furor. This came to us because it was being written about in the paper, and we were hearing about it, and we were receiving emails from our constituents, and so that's where this came from. And I appreciate that. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I have no intention of turning this into any sort of firestorm name-calling. You know, as we all know, we receive letters from a broad variety of people in our districts and outside, and people say what people say, but that is not my intention. It is not Representative Gardner's intention.
And if I might, Madam Chair, Representative Gardner, for the record, when we initially embarked on this, we had no idea how many properties and exemptions were being claimed under the statute. As it turned out, it was all affiliated with one church, but we didn't know that originally. And we kind of paused and considered it's going to look like we're after one church. That was absolutely not our intention. And I remember in 2006 when the original bill went through, it was anticipated that a Catholic school in Fairbanks would avail themselves of the exemption and possibly other schools around the state. And we just didn't know until we sort of asked the state assessor to do the research how many facilities were involved.
Thank you. Representative. Okay, did you have
a brief follow-up?
Brief follow-up.
I appreciate your comments. I appreciate very much. I'm not so much speaking to you, I'm not accusing you of anything, but beyond you to the wider public, that it's important to keep issues like this on a civil plane.
Yeah,
thank you. And Madam Chair, if I might, I absolutely agree with everything that was said, and I think that we've both bent over backwards to try to not inflame things and make them that way, and that's one of the reasons we didn't have a press conference. We want to talk about simply the fairness of the issue.
Okay, Representative Dick, and then Representative Sista, and then we're going to conclude the meeting today and be out of here an hour early. But we'll bring back the issue at a future date.
I really appreciate the focus on fairness. There's just a perspective that might broaden our view in that. If we were to make sure that these teachers were paying more property tax, the result would have to be that because many of these private school teachers are getting paid less than public school teachers, the school would then have to pay the teachers more. And in order for the school to pay the teachers more, the students and the parents of the students would have to pay more. And so if we're describing this in terms of fairness, I could give an example. Like my grandchildren attended the Christian school in Kenai. And they ended up paying twice for school. They paid property tax, and then they had to pay for school at the same time. So, and I would point out that in their case, the school cost $4,500 a year, was what my daughter paid for my grandson's education. Right now, you know, our public schools are paying, you know, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 per student. And so anyway, that is to say that the parents of the students that are going to private schools, those parents are paying property tax already. And so if we're going to discuss this in terms of fairness, I'm thinking, then what is fair? Should they have to pay for their children's education and turn around and pay property tax for schools that their children don't attend? So. And also when it comes to an issue of fairness, there are many people that send their children to a private school because in my perception of the separation of church and state is that the state won't dictate how churches operate. That's been construed now to the point that you can't even talk about anything that has to do with church in school or any government function. So because of that, a lot of people have separated themselves from the public system. That is to say that if one person's belief system is called religion, it has no place in our state-funded operations. If somebody else's belief system is called a philosophy, then we can endorse it. And by default, the religion of the public schools is secular humanistic atheism, by default. Because we can't name anything religious in the schools. So if we're going to talk about fairness, that is why a lot of parents don't send their children to public school, is because secular humanistic atheism is the religion of the public school. So I'd just like to suggest that Okay, let me point out also Alaska Christian College. My granddaughter went to Alaska Christian College. And I know that the teachers there, at least most of the ones that my granddaughter had, most of the teachers there are not paid by the college. They go everywhere they can, lower 48, they travel all summer trying to get enough money to support them so that they can go and teach at that college for free. And I know that college teachers from all over Alaska, young native high school graduates come, and they're trained in character, they're trained in academics, they have access to Kenai Peninsula College where they take courses as well. That is to say that on a shoestring, I believe that Alaska Christian College is doing a fantastic service for the native people of Alaska and for that community. So in the thought of fairness, I just wanted to make that point known that if these teachers did have to pay tax on their housing, that the teachers for Alaskan Christian College would have to go out and solicit more. They'd have to spend more this summer and solicit more money from people in the lower 48 to come up and perform a service for our Alaskan Native students here that come from the bush. So with that, I'll close. But again, I do believe the issue is fairness.
Thank you, Representative Dick. Representative Sisma, and then we'll go back to
Yes, this. Madam Chair, thank you very much. I'm really concerned about the conversation previous to the opinion of Representative Dick. And that is that this is legislation that actually spells out to small communities what is in state law, and it really gives boundaries. And we do a great deal of the unfunded mandates and trying to make those as fair as possible and giving each community the chance to make their own decisions about what they will and won't do seems to me to be a very good thing. I think one of the things that I would hope in the communities that I serve on that we keep it to the laws of the state, that we really pay attention to that, and we keep campaigning something that happens during that other time of the year where we're not here away from this conversation. Every single one of us serves a group of people. Every single one of us does. And every single one of us have to give an account of what we're doing. That's not that something for other people in this body to judge, because the people who elected them judge. Every other year, we get that judgment. And I don't think it has a part into this discussion.
I agree.
Leave unto Caesar what is Caesar's.
Thank you, Representative Sisma. And can we have concluding remarks? We're going to keep public testimony open, and we'll continue working with the sponsors.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to respond to some of the comments we've heard. First of all, I know for a fact that there are many, many deeply religious teachers in public schools all across this state representing a wide variety of faiths, and I think they would be offended to be characterized as teaching in the way that the public schools were characterized. I mean, there's a whole gamut of faiths and orientations in our public schools, as indeed across our communities there are, and so that's correct. And I want to say that I'm not hostile to religious schools. My son went to a Catholic college. I started my own academic career in a Catholic school, and I spent 3 years of my high school years in an Anglican school that had been founded by the Orphan Daughters of the English Clergy. So I had some broad experience, my personal experience with religious schools, and I had wonderful experiences and a great education. But my parents weren't asking other taxpayers to help subsidize the payments that they were making for my schooling. And that's the root of the question. If people choose to do whatever kind of schooling they think is in the best interest of their children, that is absolutely correct and the right thing for them to do. I support that all the way. I just don't think that it's appropriate for all the taxpayers in a community to subsidize that choice of those parents, and that's what a mandatory exemption for teacher housing does. If it were applied to private schools and of all sorts and religious schools, even then it would be broader. I still don't know that it would have broad support, but
that those are my comments. And Madam Chair, before we close, if we might, Kathy Wasserman from the Anchorage Municipal League has managed to tear herself away from the meetings. Alaska, I'm sorry, I apologize. Alaska Municipal League, and if we could take just a moment for her comments while she's here.
Sure, that
Thank
would be
you.
Fine. Thank you.
Whew, we're out the hill. Thank you, Madam Chairman, for the opportunity to comment. And the Alaska Municipal League would, first of all, like to thank Representative Gardner for introducing this bill. We have always come out against mandatory property tax exemptions. As a rule, we do not believe that the state, which has no taxing authority, should be mandating what property tax exemptions should be given by the municipalities. And this one, when it did pass in 06, sort of seemed to open the door to many, many more. And to us, it's not a religious issue at all. I have seen in my years at the Municipal League many, many proposed bills for tax exemptions come across my desk. Some were made into a bill, some were not, but there have been an ever-widening group of people that have either gone to their legislature and requested tax exemptions. And all of that continues to put that burden on less and less people. And because of that, we are not in favor of property tax exemptions that are mandated, and so therefore we are strongly in favor of House Bill 305.
Thank you, Kathy. Are there questions? Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
All right. And as I said, public testimony will remain open. Is there anything to come before the committee before we adjourn? Hearing nothing, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.